Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. I am Margaret Katz-Kahn, and I'm here with my friend and partner, David Landuli, who's dialing in from Montana this morning. Good morning, David.
Yes. Hey, Margaret, how are you?
I'm good. So David and I were having a conversation about, I don't even remember exactly where it started, but we've come up with the topic for today's podcast, which is what your inner second grader might have to teach you about leadership.
Right. Yeah. Well, we were talking about some of our business development efforts and some breakdowns around that we've had, and in particular, an incident, Margaret experienced recently, and we noticed how, we were talking about the ego and our personas and how sort of these layers get added to us as we mature, and they're very protective and help you navigate the world a certain way. But one of the games that the ego plays, that even well into adulthood, is you want to look good and avoid looking bad.
Yeah.
Like, who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Except when you're a second grader, you don't really give a rat's ass about looking good and avoid looking bad.
Yeah. David was talking about his wife, the lovely Lillian, who teaches second graders. And so I think, you get a pretty fairly consistent exposure to things second graders say and how they see the world and their
Well, here's
fully
one.
expressed selves. Yeah, well, it's a good story.
Here's one. So this one just came up. I got a pair of Crocs, so I could travel. They're very comfortable. I could wear like a pair of fuzzy socks. By the way, this is like me delayering. Like, I have these really eccentric, multi-striped fuzzy socks that I like to wear when I travel, and I put those things on my feet, and I put those feet inside these Crocs, which looks really, really weird. And probably a few years ago, I would never
It's the
have
kind
done
of thing
this
that
because I
probably gets you kicked out of lounges from time to time.
not in Billings, Montana, I can tell you that. There's some like really freaky people here, but well, maybe we'll get into that. It does seem like out west people are just more expressed. They don't really care. They got the tattoos out there, they got pink hair, who cares, right? At least in Billings. I like these Crocs because, they have a strap. The ones that I have like have a strap that go that you can put like over the top of your foot, or you can put them behind your heel. So Lillian said, like, one of her students has these, a lot of the kids have these Crocs too, and they wear them to school. And one of the kids in her class said, I guess she was going out for recess, and she was like changing her Crocs into sport mode. So when you put the strap on the back, it's like sport mode, So like when I was like putting my strap, my Crocs on and getting ready, I was like, I'm putting my Crocs into airplane mode.
Into airplane mode. I love that. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Yes.
But that's what
Probably
kids
like one
say.
of her parents' cars, right? There's drive mode or there's economy mode, and then there's sport mode.
But kids, they just say stuff. Like second graders, they just say stuff. They say all kinds of stuff. And Lauren comes home with it. I'm like, oh my God, that's so hilarious.
Yeah. One of my kids, when they were super young, asked somebody, and this is actually still a tender place, but he asked somebody why she was so fat. And I wanted to, die in that moment. And then, but then you think back and like, it wasn't a mean, he didn't mean it as a mean question. Like, he was just curious, he was just, it was like, wow, you're a bigger person than I'm used to seeing. Like, tell me more. And he must have heard that term fat somewhere, but I'm not saying that's a great expression because I think it hurt this person's feelings quite a lot. But it was just an example though of, well, it's an example of why this is complicated, isn't it? Because it's a fully expressed question that is part of the, that we try to teach people not to be rude and not to, not know what they're talking about. And there's a lot of bathwater that gets thrown out in this whole journey.
It does. So I think one of the things that you and I learned when we went through our leadership training at different times with different tribes, but same basic training. We went through basic training just at different times.
Basic training, right? Yeah.
Is to be, in order to be more compelling, this is like sort of counterintuitive, folks in the audience. In order to be more compelling, you have to be more expressed. And we did an exercise called Lifeboat, which is like you're the ship's going down, and there's only going to be three survivors, and how are you going to be one of them, right? And there's a lot of failure that happens, and almost everybody fails this exercise
Yeah, a lot of
because
people
they're
are
just
ready to
not.
go home by the next morning for sure. So it
This
was
is
a
like
hard
the
one.
first evening of the first day you're thrown into this exercise. By the way, spoiler alert, we kind of do this kind of stuff in our leadership training. So if this sounds really good, you might want to reach out to us for some of our training. But
I'm not sure
the
why it would sound
people
good given how we've described it, but it is powerful.
powerful. Well, it's I mean, there were some people who got on the lifeboat, right? Because they were just more authentic
Right. So,
in their
right,
expression.
the disruption is in service of other people reflecting back to you, what's compelling about you, what's authentic about you, and when you wear a mask, nobody really wants you on the lifeboat, right? Like that's not
Right.
appealing. That's not appealing to people.
Right. Right.
And that's
So,
also
what?
known as your ego, or it's related
Right.
to.
So like in that exercise, that exercise is set up to really tweak the ego. Like in other words, okay, I want to get on the lifeboat. It's a game, but anyway, the ego gets triggered and the ego wants to look good and avoid looking bad. So then all of a sudden you put on this mask and you start telling a story in a very inauthentic way about how you should be on the lifeboat, and everyone's like, eh,
Yeah.
not gonna be you. Right?
Yeah. And then to figure out, I think the idea of the disruptive event and that exercise was wildly disruptive is it leaves you going, okay, that sucked, but like, what do I do with that? What do I do with that? And then they gave us to do is act like a second grader for a little while and let's figure out what you look like and what's magical about you when you touch back into what does it look like when you express yourself more authentically rather than all the ways we were taught not to ask impolite questions or don't ever let yourself be weak in front of other people, David.
Yeah, it's I know exactly. We notice that, Margaret and I notice that, because we'll get brought in to conversations like when we are, Margaret and I were sharing about some experiences that we've had over the years about, we might be working with somebody in a nonprofit organization, like they might be working with one of us as their coach, and then they start to hear about some of our leadership training or our fundraising training that Margaret and I do, and they get very interested in it, and they're like, oh yeah, well let me have you come and talk to our leadership team, or let me have you come and talk to our board. And then we get into the, we get on this Zoom call with our client and their team or their board. And then all of a sudden, a different person shows up.
Right. Yeah. When we've been talking to this person and they've shared things and, and been authentic in what they need. And then you see this very different side of that person when you're like, oh, this person is trying to look good. And this isn't truthful, right? This isn't what he or she shared, with me privately.
And it's as we would say in some of our leadership training, it's a bit out of integrity. In other words, it's not whole and complete in terms of how someone express, like if you express yourself one way in to a certain person, and but another way around the same topic to another group of people, then it's kind of out of integrity. And this is some of the work we do with leaders about being authentic, being vulnerable, and being in integrity. And by the way, super important if you are a fundraiser out there.
Right. And I think the exercise of the lifeboat is a powerful reflection back that, when we put on that mask, when we get super egoic, when we take on the force field of a place that we work or a family system instead of who we are, it doesn't connect with people, right? I mean, not everybody can articulate, but people say, I don't know, she just felt fake or he felt inauthentic or, but like people are very sensitive, it turns out, to us being kind of masked up.
Yeah, there's something about the way our intuition works. I think people have a spidey sense, like especially when they're meeting you for the first time, or they're really like looking for or sensing, like, is this person being straight with me? You know? Right. And so Margaret and I, in one of our programs called Being a Mega Gifts Fundraiser, we actually do an exercise with participants, kind of like Lifeboat, but not as disorienting, but it's somewhat disorienting, where the participants get to pitch their nonprofit to whoever's in, and this is to a group of fundraisers who kind of get the whole thing that's going on. And then you get measured. We have like a bullshit meter that we teach people how to use a bullshit meter, and you get to see how you coming across. You know, that's one of the exercises we actually do in that program. That's very powerful. And then, of course, at the end of the program, we redo that exercise once you've learned how to be more authentic and more compelling. And boy, you see how much powerful people become in their expression and just in their presence.
And some of the, I think some of the qualities, that we see really regularly with fundraisers that feel inauthentic is that they're trying so hard to seem smart. It's not that they're not smart, they are smart, but they're focusing like, I need to make it sound like I know what I'm talking about. That's one. I think pleaser is another one, like, I'm gonna be so nice. Like, and it doesn't mean they're not nice. It's just, it's such an over calibration of, oh, anything you want. Oh, we can do that. We can do that. Right. Like, and to the point where your donor might be sitting across the table going, R really? I don't buy that. I don't believe you. And I think all of us have had that experience being on both sides of that table. Right.
Oh yeah, for sure. And there's something about the energy of being childlike, or as we said at the top of the episode here, being more like a second grader. It's quite liberating for you as an individual, and I think it can be quite delightful for other people you're working with. Or I know for me, like, and this I think this goes for you too, Margaret. We discovered, both Margaret and I, that we had a little bit of goofy eccentricity in our natural style. Like, that's where the colorful socks come from, and just put it out there in the world, and of course, prior to discovering that aspect, or rediscovering that aspect of myself, I would have never have, and I know there's a lot of you out there in the audience who probably think like, oh, that's no big deal, but it was a big deal for me, Anyway, so that is some of what we've been exploring around being, having a persona, letting your ego drive the bus as opposed to your authentic inner second grader. Anything more you want to say about it, Margaret?
Well, I just want to make sure we're clear. Like, are we telling fundraisers that they should wear Crocs to all of their meetings?
It depends. Let's just say
Depends,
this is an invitation to be a bit more authentic. Like let your donors see a little bit more of you. If that means that you're wearing a parent, if you had foot surgery and you're going on a donor meeting and you got to wear a pair of Crocs, just own it and say, "Hey, I'm wearing Crocs because, I have neuropathy in my feet." By the way, that's true for me.
And I think it might come up, I mean, for us, it's, speaking of goofy and eccentric, it can be expressed in things that you choose to wear. It can be expressed in how you choose to answer a question, maybe that you don't actually know the answer to. It can be expressed by telling a joke. I think it can be expressed
It could
by,
be expressed by your hairstyle.
are you saying something about my hair? No, I'm just kidding. I
No,
think it can
no,
be
no.
expressed in sharing something about yourself, and not, again, what would your second grader do? Your inner second grader do.
Yeah. If you haven't, if you sometimes we call this like, how would we like the lid down versus lid up metaphor? Like if you think about a being tamped down a little bit, right? And most of us get tamped down over the years, as opposed to being more like expressive about like when people, at least I've noticed, when having second graders can be very compelling when they want something, right? I
They can
mean,
be a force of
they,
nature for sure.
for sure. And they have no, function to like expressing what they want and expressing it very vigorously and just kind of out of their being, like who they are, not who they think you want them to be.
I'm sort of curious. I think you, especially me, maybe to a lesser extent, but sometimes we feel like our places of work don't invite or welcome any of this energy, right? Anything other than,
Absolutely true.
yeah. So then what? Right? How do we still express ourselves?
This is a leadership podcast, and so one thing that leaders do is they take risks. They do. Like in one of the exercises that we did, like we had a ropes course in our leadership program, and one of the exercises, there's a lot of challenge in the in a ropes course, and we the leaders would say, "Hey, well, it's challenged by choice. Like you can try this thing, or you don't have to," but they really do encourage you to give it a try, And I remember like there's one, and there's one thing called like a pamper pole. You kind of climb up this telephone pole and you stand on the top of it and you try to dive off and hit a ball, right? And it's quite unnerving and disorienting. I mean, you're tied up, you're roped up in a harness, so nothing unsafe is going to happen to you. But your mind thinks that. So same thing, like, if you're going to take a risk and be a little bit more expressive, your mind will tell you, your ego will tell you, don't do it. But then what's the possibility that if you actually do express it and the person across from you, it's like, "Oh my God, that's brilliant," right? Or just falls in love with what you've said. So there is some risk. And so what we're inviting you to do is, if you're feeling very tamped down, and especially in the workplace, maybe take some baby steps, wear
Something
some
like maybe
stripes.
answer a question honestly, as opposed to the party line, right? That might be a place to take a risk.
Or be truthful, or say no. Like if a donor says, "Well, can you do this?" and it's a no. Like, "No, we can't. I'm sorry, we can't do that, because that's not the direction we're heading in." I mean, Yeah, because a lot of fundraisers will say yes, will even accept gifts that they can't perform on, you know, because there's just too much yes, you know.
Maybe cracking a joke would be another example. Like if things feel stiff or right, the space feels stilted and tense, you know, maybe name it or crack a joke or, you know, like follow an urge that you have to dance with awkward.
Yeah, well, I like what you're saying, follow the urge. So there's something about trusting your intuition, because the persona and the ego will sort of tamp down your intuitive urges to try things. And so what we're inviting you here today is maybe listen to that small inner voice, that little second grader inside you. And try some things, you know.
I think some people have heard or read about, I have sort of one of my favorite stories about my fundraising, which is that the first time, you know, I first started working and I was super green and I hadn't been sent by myself yet on an ask, and I was accompanying a board member and we were with this donor and he had just sold a company for a gajillion dollars, and he was certainly embracing his inner second grader, and we sat down and we're looking at the menus and he looked up and he goes, "So was there any reason you invited me to lunch today other than to shamelessly beg for money?" And it was shocking, you know, it was definitely a it was a jaw drop moment. But my board member, you know, she did ego. She was like, no, of course we're not asking you for money." Like she backpedaled and she was trying to be polite and she was trying to, I don't know, she was trying to diffuse. And then, you know what? We didn't ask him for money. And then guess what? He didn't give money. And I think about that now, and I've talked about this in the context of if I had had the skills that we teach people in Mega or the skills of leadership, like no way would I have done what she did. I mean, I would have said, "Define shameless," or, "We're absolutely here to beg for money. You know, where do I start?"
Exactly.
Or, you know, I would have had a much more, and I don't know that I would have gotten the gift, but it would have felt so much better to me. Like that was the longest lunch in the history of lunches after that happened, let me tell you. Because
Yeah, there is there.
we all knew we were there to ask for money. And then when the board member pulled that off the table, it was like, "Why are we here? What are we doing?" It
Yeah,
was so.
exactly. I mean, he was certainly channeling his being a bit audacious, right? And like the invitation in that moment was to just be go right back at him, right? Well, if you're open to us shamelessly begging for money, we'd be happy to do it. How much would you like us to
Love
beg
to.
for?
Exactly. Yes, I really believe
Yeah,
that
he
would
might
have,
laugh.
I really believe that would have gone better. I mean, everything changed in the space. And I understand why my board member did. You know, she wasn't a wildly confident, you know, she's a board member, she's not the executive director. And but everything really changed in that moment. And it was such a great example of like, wow, she lost everything playful in her and just drank the awkward Kool-Aid and, you know, and like made it more awkward.
Well, I like what you're saying, Margaret, because this mega, like the being a mega gifts fundraiser, it's like who you are. And, you know, we're having a number of inquiries now from boards, because boards are not professional. People who are members of boards of directors of nonprofits are generally not professional fundraisers. And so there is, and yet they're expected to raise money for the organization. And so many nonprofits we work with have professional fundraising staff, and they know all the ins and outs of booze management and the database and keeping track of everything. The board members don't need to do any of that, but they do need to shift who they are a little bit so that they can be very comfortable in that moment, as you described it, when somebody says something like that, so that they can be like, there's a way of being that you could actually tap into your inner second grader in that moment and have and be playful with that moment, because you have nothing to lose at that point.
There's nothing to lose at that point.
And so we actually train boards how to embody in their being fundraising. And there's a lot of money stories that people have that sort of derail them in this effort, even though they've joined the board and they know that they have a responsibility to help raise money for this cause, which they care about, or they may or may not know that, but they certainly have some sense of it. And we help them really sort of tap into that playful side, or whatever side of it is that they can be very, very authentic with other donors when they're asking for money.
Yeah, we give them the skills to dance with what happens.
Well, all right. So look, if you're a board member out there, or if you're an executive fundraiser struggling with your board, reach out to Margaret or me, and we will talk to you about how our training helps board members tap into their inner second grader and just shamelessly ask for money.
That's right. And actually bring in more money. This is not,
A lot more, a lot
yeah,
more.
right. That's the thing about this. It really works.
All right. So yeah, we'll put our contact information. Maybe we'll even drop a link in the show notes toward to our mega
Yeah,
fundraising
people
program,
can learn more about it.
so you can learn more about it. All right.
Right.
Well,
Signing off from
signing off. Take care
Sir.
till next time.